Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Well, Joe and Nancy Martin, what a delight to have you on here today. Welcome everybody to C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Phil Pringle with my very special guests, Pastor Joe and Nancy Martin. Hi, guys.
Hey, Pastor Thank Phil. You. Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be with you and all those who'll be listening.
Well, we can't wait to hear from you. Everybody I know loves Joe and Nancy Martin.
Well, that's nice that we're internationally loved and
Absolutely.
Known, because at home it's not always that way, you know?
I can't believe that. Nancy's like a walking
either.
Bottle of champagne.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, you have 7 grandchildren, is that right?
You know, actually, Pastor Phil, we had...
Number eight last week.
Oh, congratulations. That is fantastic.
7 girls, yeah. One boy.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, around you, they must have such a wonderful time. I think every post I see on social media that you guys are putting up there is of you and your children.
Yeah. Pastor Phil, we'll probably get to this later, but we just are so grateful to God that our children love us and they love the Lord. And more importantly, they really love the church.
Yeah.
And as you know, planting church and churches and pioneering churches is hard work, and it's a lot of ways to get hurt. But our kids have really done well, yeah. And we're so proud of them. We got 2 kids and 8 grandchildren, so they're doing their job.
And fantastic.
They're involved in their churches, and we're really grateful. Yeah.
This is just from 2 children, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we have a son, Joe the Third. He's 36. And
yeah,
a daughter, Landon, she's 33. Both are married and both have 4 children.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. So, Nancy, how have you found church life? You started Trinity Dallas in 1995, that's like nearly what, 30 years ago now?
Yeah, we're in our 28th year.
Yeah. And you've done wonderfully. What a beautiful church. I love your church, love the people in there. But I'm sure it hasn't always been smooth sailing. Tell us about any rough moments you've had.
I think for me, you definitely had to step up from when we were at Sojourn and on staff. With your personal life, I think just making sure that our walk was genuine, and that we were in good shape. I have a lot of people that mentor me and help me, disciple me, to make sure they're listening to how I'm doing, what I'm saying. And, you know, I think you definitely get some hits along the way, but just making sure you get the help that you need when you're wounded and you heal and you recover and you don't grow too weary in the well-doing. I think that's something that I'm real mindful of now. For sure.
Right.
I love it.
Certainly that helps just to retreat, recover, and regroup. And especially after the pandemic, Joe, you guys took a hit down there like everybody in your church. How have you come out of it all?
We did.
Yeah, I think we, in one aspect, we're sort of still recovering a little bit in the sense that a lot of people scattered in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
And we're slowly but surely they're starting to come back to church. In the meantime, a whole new group of people are coming to church, mm-hmm. it was a traumatic time for a lot of people.
A lot of issues
here
came
at
up.
The church. You know, we had our dear Rob Carman pass away during that time. Pastor Rob was a dear friend of mine and a very close ally in the ministry, very good friend. And he was, when he was in town, he was on the front row here at the church. He passed during that time. And we had several other, you know, really bright young voices who, I say young in their, you know, 40s, who passed during that time. So it was very, that part was really hard. But I think now we're starting to see a fresh move of God's Spirit. And, you know, it's pretty exciting what's going on around here now.
I think, too, some of the people were battling, started to battle. I think with issues going on with one another, it was hard to see all that happen. But I think in the end, to realize you have differences of opinions. But
yeah, you're talking about really the racial issues.
Yes, it was after the through the pandemic. Yeah. There were a lot of things that came up. Yeah.
That was crazy, wasn't it? Because it just polarized people.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
And a lot of that polarization is still seething, you know. And yeah. So
we're getting through.
So I think, you know, bringing people back to the superiority of God's word, bringing people back to spiritual family, bringing people back to becoming followers and being followers of Jesus, you know, has been the, you know, getting everything on the right keel again.
Yeah.
Right. It's when we've made our opinions more important than the word, that's when things really do go sideways. And I'm thankful for your pastoral hearts that are bringing unity, because I know people who, like I say, everybody I know loves Joe and Nancy Martin. I think my son had coffee with you just the other day when he was in town.
They have our heart.
Yeah, we love Joe and Christine. They're awesome. So it was fun to be with him. He was at a Games Changer church, and so he did a great job.
Tell him hello.
I will. With a three-generation Joe in your world, anybody named Joe's going to find favor with you, I imagine.
Yeah.
So you recently started a second church, became a multi-site church by getting another location going. How's that going?
We did.
Pastor Phil, you know, we the current space we have, we've been in it since 1998. And so since that time, we've tried numerous times to sell this and to move out more into the suburbs. In fact, Nancy and I actually moved to McKinney for about 5 years.
We
started a church out there, and so we just knew we were, you know, this, we'd outgrown this, and in a lot of different, emotionally we'd outgrown it for sure. Now we can look back and see the wisdom of God in keeping us here, because the area that we're in Uptown is rapidly expanding. And
it's inside the city.
We're a block from the Apple Store. We, you know, there's so much new development. Yeah. They're spending billions of dollars here within the, you know, few square miles. So now we see that, you know, really there's no chance for another church to find enough ground to even get in. And for us being here with as much room as we have, it's really a real blessing. And in the midst of all that, the Lord opened the door for us to buy an Episcopal church. And so we bought that. It's about a mile from our current campus. So it's a hunch that we have, that we believe people are going to begin to look back at and try to find places of worship in their own communities,
right?
And neighborhoods, and so we've kind of pushed all the chips out on the table, and we bought this church, and we're doing about a $3.5 million renovation on it. It'll be ready in the fall.
Fantastic.
So we're really testing a new formula here.
God's bringing the resources and the people and some pioneers ready to do the work.
Yeah, I know you got two new young couples who are ready to work with you on that. How did that happen?
Well, one of them has been with us for actually been on staff for 19 years. And so
they were headed to YWAM Africa.
Talking about
Joe.
A son. I mean, these guys have been a son and a daughter here. Amazing for us.
Yeah.
And so they're going to pastor and lead this campus at 4300 Cole. We call it our Uptown campus. And then we had a staff member back in the 2000s that was on staff here.
Yeah.
And he and his wife, dear friends, and they've sort of during this COVID, into the COVID, they've sort of come back into the picture, and we're really excited, really to make them our campus pastors at our new location, our Highland Park campus.
Yeah.
So we've had a great relationship with them for 20 plus years, both of them. And so
such a blessing.
We feel like we got the best team. Yeah, we feel like we got the best team we've ever had right now.
I mean, a lot of unity.
That's awesome. Hey, Nancy, you were involved in selling, as I understand, as a salesperson. And there's no doubt about you. You would make a brilliant salesperson. And I think you were selling high-end fashion, women's fashion. How's that been, becoming a pastor and a pastor's wife?
Oh, boy, how much time do we have? I know, you know, I do. We look back, and God just allowed me to be able to do a lot of that even still. When we started the church, sold a lot of high-end jewelry, and we were able to buy our first home. In a month's time, we had enough for the down payment, and I loved it. I love people. And then it would be so fun. I would talk about Jesus, and then at the end of the day, make $50,000, and you're thinking, this works. But both my parents were in the clothing business, and I modeled, and so I love fashion, Dallas, I love jewelry. But I believe it's just who I am. So I really don't have to put on, you know, much of an air with that, do I, Pastor?
No. This is it, baby.
And he likes North Face and fishing clothes and, oh, my goodness. And I said, you married me. And so it's really been a real blessing, and it's worked.
I think with Nancy making the transition into ministry, you know, she grew up Catholic, so she didn't even know, you know, she didn't know really what the people might expect of her.
I like the party.
She just got in there, rolled her sleeves up. Her first job in the ministry was the janitor. And
but at least I looked cute while I was doing that.
Yeah, first church we planted, she was the janitor. And one day we were building out some new space, and I was going into the building where she was in there cleaning, and there were two plumbers out on the curb smoking a cigarette. And as I was walking up to the door, I heard one of them say, I think I'm going to try this church this weekend. And the other guy said, well, why are you going to do that? He said, because if they all look like that janitor in there, man, this would be a place to be.
I'm sure we got them. I tell you, Pastor Phil, I've heard so many people say, just be yourself and be you.
Right.
And that's been a struggle for me, because I don't know exactly what that looks like or sounds like, but I'm determined to just stay the course and believe God. You know, I think the scripture that says out of Zephaniah that the Lord rejoices over you, he sings over you and dances over you. And I think when I met Chris Pringle and she read out of Dr. Seuss at our first 1,000-plus meeting in Hawaii, I knew I was home. And I love that she's able to be herself. She's actually been a very good mentor for me, just to be our colorful selves. And I think that's good for the world to see, is that, you know, we don't bring you in here and you wear, you know, all gray clothes and just, you know, you keep your countenance, your joy, who you are, the life and your story, your testimony. And, you know, when Pastor Joe met me, he just said, I have a word for you and from the Lord. And I tossed my champagne behind my back. I said, well, give it to me. I've heard of the Lord. And so I think just I really have been able to enjoy the journey, I think, because just being able to say, Lord, this is who I am. And I was a cheerleader. Yeah. So I do a good job, I think, trying to cheer the troops on.
Yeah, still dancing around, kicking your legs up and saying, hey, go Joe.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not the pom-poms, a short skirt, but
still
got it.
Right. What would you have found being the biggest challenges, either of you can answer this, in terms of being in the ministry in the last few years? I mean, COVID, we talked a bit about it. COVID definitely has been a challenge with people leaving, and then the polarization through various opinions. In terms of looking after people through that time and trying to keep them, you know, in church and moving forward, how have you done that?
You know, Pastor Phil, that's been overall the challenge for us because, you know, in Dallas, what you've got a very Christianized, churched culture. It's getting different. It's changing. It's not as much as it used to be. But people, certainly of our generation, are very churched here, and which is sort of opposite of what you see in Australia and some other places around the world. So people learn the lingo. They know what to say. They know how to act. They know the boxes to check, but they lack an authentic relationship with Christ and really coming under the lordship of Christ. And so when you teach and model that, you know, people come and go. I mean, they just, you know, and I think that's the most difficult thing. You pour into someone's life, you invest in their life, and you look up one day and they hadn't been here for 2-3 weeks. Where are they? Well, they're at this church, or they're at that church, or they're with Robert Morris now, or whatever. And so you know, that's the ongoing challenge. But in terms of, you know, over the last several years, just pastoring and caring for people, I think it's been just going back to the fundamentals of Christianity, is that we're called to love God, to love one another, and to be followers of Jesus. You know, so I think re-emphasizing, going back to the foundations of our faith has really, you know, steadied so many people during this time, all the transition, you know, and I think that's been our tact, is to really, hey, let's go back and just look at that foundation, a foundation of repentance, a foundation of grace, a foundation of life, you know, and just re-pouring those foundations for people.
I was just reading a book, Resilience by John Eldridge. It's really good, and it's sort of the shape we're in, this side of the pandemic. But he said people are either angry or really fearful. And wow, I think in such a, we can see it in a good way. You know, people really got offended, and they drive different. They run errands different. We're living different amongst each other. But if we can sort of, you know, that God is in this to, you know, work a good work where the devil would want to kill, steal, and destroy, God can use it for good. And I believe he is, but he's training us, like training our hands for war and for this battle, if you will, right now. But it is to continue loving the Lord and each other, but not be so shocked with some of the differences going on and angry or fearful, but just say each day, Lord, how do you want to use us in these days, you know, and give me scriptures or just worship songs to build us up, you know.
Exactly.
I think if as leaders we're worn out, we certainly aren't going to be effective in terms of helping other people. So making sure you're in good health, emotionally, mentally, socially, relationally, financially, even physically, I think really helps us be effective in looking after others. You've stated like you want to build a community of God seekers. What's that look like, Joe?
Well, I think, you know, we have people who, when we think normally of God seekers, people who are outside of the boundary of knowing God and they want to know more about him. But I'm looking at the sense of God seekers. I'm a God seeker.
Right.
And so whether you are just stumbling into a church, or you're just become a Christian, or you're becoming a disciple, or you are a seasoned disciple of Jesus, all of us need to take another step closer to Jesus. All of us can seek him at a whole new level. Yeah. All of us have an opportunity to know him at a different level. As many shades of color as there are in the rainbow, you know, there are that many facets to God. And so we want to build and we are building a community for people who want more of God. And whether they're been walking with the Lord all their life, or they're just now setting out to investigate church,
and desperate
and
for
just
more.
Help them, yeah. Encourage them in a hunger for the Lord and a desire to hear his voice, to know him, to walk in his ways and to live our life like Jesus.
Love it. It's fantastic. Yeah, well, you guys have been a real inspiration to so many people in our movement, C3 movement, just from the world of fathering a younger generation. I think that is so important. And we're going to wind up in about 3 or 4 minutes. But I just thought that area of how older men and women can actually be like parents and father and mother, a new generation who in many instances of family life, they didn't have a father or didn't have a mother or didn't have that influence. And so you may not have even realized it, but part of your immense value to others is exactly that, that they appreciate so much your parenting of.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. And I think that's a product of, you know, just longevity. I mean, we've been around long enough now to see that the value of putting your arm around somebody and say, you're doing a great job,
right.
Or, hey, you're going to get through this. We made it through. You can too. Hey, take that next step. I mean, you know, the worst you can do is fail. So let's go for it.
And I think having the church pay attention to the young generations more, you know, it's just, if we don't come together and raise them, someone else is doing that and wanting to do that. So it's a huge passion for me in the church to get everybody. Can you high five, love them? We've got the curriculum, we've got the worship, you know, all lined up. But I just want to rally. The church has got to raise up the next generation.
We've got to pass our values down.
Have to.
I mean, we have to. We can't just
sit back.
You sit back and enjoy, rest on our laurels. You know, we got a whole generation. They're being fed a whole different life philosophy. And we've got to get our values in kids and grandkids.
Yeah, and that is so good what you've said there, that if we don't, others will. And that means we just can't sit back on our laurels and hope that they somehow get it. We actually need to be intentional and start to gather groups of people who want to know and people who are teachable. It's hard work trying to teach people who don't want to hear. And so I think
fun.
Selecting, make it fun. Yeah, become
enthusiastic. Let these kids see life in us, you know?
Right.
Yeah, bring them on in to worship and hear Joseph Pringle.
Right, exactly. Hey, well, Joe and Nancy, it's such a delight to be with you and privileged to do life with you. And I think we're going to be at a little conference next week together.
Pastor Phil, we're looking forward to it. We leave on Monday morning for 3 or 4 days with you. So I'm looking forward.
I am too. Thanks so much for sharing with us today and look forward to talking soon.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
You.
God bless you.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.